Today morning, yeah, we're supposed to have Andrew preaching to us. But yesterday night, he called me. I think many of you know that his dad is not doing well. The kidney function is deteriorating. So it reached kind of a critical stage, and he had to be admitted late night. He has to go for dialysis. So do keep Pastor James in prayer and keep the whole family in prayer in this moment. There's a number of procedures that he has to go through, and let's trust the Lord to minister to the whole family, okay? Let's commit this time to God in prayer before we hear the preaching of the word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your presence. Dear Lord, we want to lift up Pastor James into your hands. We pray, dear Lord, that in this moment that you would bear him, that you would heal him, that you would bless him, dear God, that you would be the whole family, that even in this difficult situation, that he will know that you are with him, dear God, that you would be his healer, his strength and comfort. Dear Lord, minister and speak your words, dear Lord, into their hearts. Let them know, Lord, that you are their God and their keeper. We want to thank you that we are here, and we too look to you, Lord, for healing, for restoration, for strength, dear God. You are our healer, dear Lord, and we pray that as we come before you, your presence will fill us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I was thinking yesterday evening what to share, and I thought perhaps, you know, we'll not continue with the book of Matthew. And I wanted to share something that I find it very important, a subject that we always need to speak about. It's the whole thing about personal devotion and coming before the Lord on a daily basis and building a relationship with God. And I've just put up a question there, you know, when we look to God, what are we expecting from him? Okay, and that is a question that we need to consider and kind of understand, you know. Perhaps the other question would be, what can we expect from him, like, you know, and who God is? So we'll explore a few things today. Being a pastor, over the years, I've asked myself, what are the important questions that I'll ask of the congregation? You know, what I am expecting from you. And the key thing which I would like to know and track is, are you doing your devotions on a daily basis? You know, are you praying and are you reading your Bible? So, is it good? Are you developing that prayer life? Are you, you know, getting deeper into the scriptures? And there are many reasons for this, simply because, I mean, I've stated the reasons down, you know. Of course, you know, it is important that you be connected with God, right? And understand that that connection leads to a very healthy connection with other people, okay? I was reading Henry Cloud's book on changes that heal, and so he was saying that, you know, one of the things that holds us down is our inability to connect, to bond with people deeply, you know, simply because the way we were raised and the relationships we experienced did not allow for a good and healthy connection. And only God provides for such a connection that allows you to understand what, you know, closeness, intimacy, love, and being a child is all about. And only in that frame of love and goodness, we can be free to explore and develop healthy connections with one another. Okay, and of course, it's important for us to know God's will as a church. You know, what's happening is that we know that it's not an individual that leads the church. We are a body, united. And it's so important that all of us hear what God is saying and what God is doing in this congregation, how he's working through your lives, our lives, and hear each other's story and encourage one another. So that's so important to know God's will. The other thing is, you know, we will and we do struggle with being faithful and true to God. And prayer helps us develop faithfulness, you know, in the presence of God. It's a place where we put aside the old, where we become alive to the Spirit, where we are filled with the power of God and are renewed in the image of Christ. I have to put this down, well-being, okay? Yes, you know, the thing is, I've spoken to all of you, and I know your stories, and you all have challenges, okay? And, you know, those challenges can drive you nuts if you're not careful, okay? It's difficult, there are demands on you, and all this has an effect on each one of us, you know, whether our body, our mind, our soul, and spirit. But God loves us, and God is there for us, and God is aware of this whole thing. You know, and so for our well-being, okay, you know, to be filled, to be whole, you know, we need to be in the presence of God. And most important, I mean, it's not most in that sense, what's something that really God taught me throughout the years, that what makes a good foundation in a church, in a life, is that devotional life, okay? And a good foundation is so necessary if you want to serve and live the life that God has called you to live. A strong foundation holds things together. And if you talk about building a church, you know, what really is needed is strong foundation. And it only comes through, you know, knowing how to pray and knowing how to dwell in the Word of God. So these are the reasons. And this is the pastoral concern. This is a question I will ask you, and I will not apologize for asking you and to talk to you, you know, and how to help you to develop this area of prayer. Okay. Is it working? Yeah. So when I was exploring prayer life, and believe me, there's a lot to learn, okay? And it takes a lifetime to learn, and the best way to do is to learn and to practice it. And I think one thing that needed to be sorted out is what did I expect from God, like, you know? And I think, you know, those who came early, and when Yiling started off, she said this, you know, when she was teaching classes, she first asked God, you know, to help her be a good teacher, okay? And then later, you know, the prayer changed, you know, God, let me be genuine and true to you as I teach, okay? The expectations change, all right? And that's the very interesting thing, you know, as you pray, the question kind of changes, and we start to explore this whole topic, what does God expect from us? And of course, when you put the word expect, it seems like a demand. But what God expects from us is kind of amazing. You know, He invites us to be His children, to be like His Son, to be like Jesus Christ. And so it's amazing that only in a place as we focus on the Word of God and meditate upon it, we begin to see, you know, and truly understand that, you know, we can expect amazing things from our God. And because of what He has done, you know, we can enter into the expectations, you know, that come from Him and live it out on a daily basis. And I mean, I'm going to go into a sermon text, but these are some of the questions that I would invite you to think about as even we explore the sermon text. There's a lag here, so... Maybe you turn off the other programs and check this. Okay. So if you talk about the realm of expectations, how it changes is what are you praying for? You know, who are you praying to? You know, who is God to you in that sense? Who are you praying for? Okay. And where are you praying from? Like, you know, the posture you pray from, you know, faith, hope, questions you have and all that, all kind of have to be worked out in the place of prayer. Okay. So I'll read the sermon text before we go here. It's taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 20. We'll just explore this text and then think about the questions and see how this text answers some of those questions. So if you have your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 20. Okay. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and all in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Okay. So this is an amazing passage that speaks about prayer. So very quickly, just work through the structure. Okay. So the first part, again, I brought this up before, you know, some of the structures kind of help us to understand what are the key points, and this is what you call a chiastic structure. So the first and the last points are related, and then the second and the fourth, and then the middle point is central, okay? Paul was saying, you know, what he's trying to emphasize, okay, he's speaking about the gospel that has come to them, and in the middle it says, all over this world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, okay? And so one of the key central things, you know, that is in the heart of Paul and in the heart of the Bible, that the gospel transforms things. It bears fruit. It changes people, okay? And that is our hope. You know, that is the reality we live in. The gospel is the proclamation of the good news, all right? It's a proclamation that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of all, okay? And it's beautiful, even beautifully revealed in the last portion of this text, you know, the supremacy, the beauty of Christ and what he has done for us and how he has brought us, you know, into the Father's side through forgiveness of sins. And that's central for us to know. Okay, all over the world, you know, since day one, the gospel has been moving forward and it has been, you know, bearing fruit. And that's the confidence of Paul in the gospel. And that's what, that's a good place for us to start. You know, what Jesus has done, you know, what he has imparted in our life, the gospel, it will bear fruit. It will change us. The Word of God will change us. You know, dwelling in it, you know, learning it, understanding it will transform our lives. Okay. And there are a few elements in this prayer that is central. Okay, so he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. And this is what, you know, I was saying about connections, all right? You know, it's that faith in God, all right? You know, and that connection is built on belief, trusting God and having faith in him. And through that faith, you know, one grows in the love for God. All right? And the same way, that love overflows and develops a healthy relationship. And this is one of the fruit that takes place in the church. You know, and why Paul prays this prayer and prays it relentlessly, simply because it works, it's real, it is something God has done, you know, and achieved through his death at the cross. You know, Christians can come together. Can love each other. Well, I hope you all have not reached that point of cynicism where, you know, you think, I really, can this happen? You know, but that's the fruit of the gospel. You know, that is what God has done for us, you know, through the cross. And that's what happens. And that's what we need to believe and work towards and understand God will fulfill that. And it's truly a joy to see that unfold in the life, especially in this congregation, to see how relationships develop, you know, how people learn to move towards each other. It's not easy, you know, but I have to testify, you know, it's a lot of prayers being answered. You know, and as the congregation prays in faith, expecting these things, you know, we begin to see the beauty of God unfold. Okay? And then hope, okay? The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. Okay, I just put another verse down. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. All right? And it's kind of interesting. He says that the faith comes from a place of hope, you know? And that's what... I did mention, what is our hope when we consider God's gift to us? What do we believe needs to happen here? You know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, where is the hope there? When we consider the future, you know, the new kingdom of God, where all nations will come together, where there'll be peace, you know, where there'll be kindness, love, where sin will be done away with, what is our hope today in light of what God is doing? Okay. And that's the thing, you know, when the church starts to pray and starts to rest in the promises of God's word, you know, the Spirit, you know, reveals and releases such hope in our life. When we come to church, you know, when we speak to each other, when we sit down and consider what God is doing, we truly begin to see and understand, you know, that God has started his new creation now, here, now, within us. And he's changing things. Amen. And that's the whole thing about expectation. You know, for a long time, I just could not see it, and did not understand God's work properly. At one point, you know, it's just about numbers, you know. It is just about strength. It's about power, you know, and that's what the hope is all about, okay? Yes, you know, we do talk about love and this and all that, but honestly, you know, you only explore that subject very deeply when you enter that realm and start loving people, okay? I mean, we all know what we get good at is handling people, you know. Okay, perhaps some of us not that good, but but we want to handle people. But God wants more than that, all right? But the thing is, it's kind of amazing when you are with Christ, you believe you don't need to play those games, you don't need to hide, you don't need to, you know, manipulate or do whatever it is that makes you feel safe, but rather you come into the place where you begin to see that God changes you and you start to explore everything, truly believing in a heavenly vision. And that's what the Holy Spirit will stir in your heart. That kind of hope, that kind of belief. You know, it doesn't matter what the world says, but we are messengers of peace, of joy, of unity, of mercy, of grace and kindness. And through those things, you know, a better society, a new society forged in the image of Christ will happen, will take place, you know. So it's without prayer, these things become more distant and we become more cynical. And, you know, we allow all the challenges, you know, that comes, you know, when you are doing this to hold us down and distract us or discourage us from pursuing what God wants us to do. So we do need prayer. Okay. The gospel, understanding God's grace. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. And the other thing that we need to grow in prayer is an understanding of God's grace, okay? And I've mentioned this several times, and even we discussed this in our prayer meetings. We have to understand that we live in a very consumeristic world, you know. And that mindset has hit home, you know. It has affected us. And so many of our conversations with God and prayers perhaps come from a more transactional understanding. You know, God, I will do this, you do this, you know, kind of exchange, you know. And you find that as you read the gospel, there is nothing you can offer God that God wants in that sense. Like, you can't earn anything with God. Everything is earned by Jesus Christ. And what is given to you is given freely as out of God's graciousness towards each one of us. Okay, and that's the proclamation of the gospel. And you begin to learn, you know, that because if we think in a consumeristic mindset, then prayer becomes hard, you know, and it becomes dry. If we begin to think about transactions, then we can become a little bit religious, you know, legalistic in that sense. But what God wants to do is bring us in this place where He realized that, you know, we owe Him everything. Because He has done and given us everything so freely, so graciously, you know. And the only response is to say, God, you know, take it all, you know, because you are good to me. All right? And again, you know, developing that understanding takes time. You know, exploring that grace and goodness takes time. Coming to a place of gratefulness takes time. And that's why prayer is necessary. If not, we miss out in something so beautiful. And we can't, you know, without knowing that God's grace is on our life, it really gets hard. It really gets challenging. But truly experiencing it and opens our heart to the many things that God is doing. It opens us to hope, to love, and to His kindness. Okay? I call this theory and praxis, and what the word praxis means is to take some theory and put it into action, into practice. All right? And that's the whole thing about Christianity. We hear a lot of theories, you know, theology, you know, this must happen, this must do, and all that. But bringing down into practice, into the reality of daily living is something else, all right? And when it's not done, then there is some kind of disjoint or some kind of cynicism or whatever it is that gets in the way, okay? We kind of develop, some kind of defense, you know, against truly obeying God's word. we are able to hear and say, yeah, 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 that's true, but then leave it as that. Okay, not truly explore. But here, Paul says, you know, the Bible says that the gospel, if it's worked out well, and if you look at the text carefully, I mean, I've just outlined, he kind of puts an important process that takes place. You know, first he said it was taught to you, you know, by the fellow servant Epaphras, okay? And then you had to learn it, okay? You had to hear it and understand it. And that leads to bearing fruit and growing. That leads to hope, faith, and love that springs from hope and love for Jesus and all of God's people. Okay, so it was taught, it had to be learned, it had to be heard and understood. And that is a necessary process, you know, before you hit the place where you bear fruit. And that's why even in this letter and in all of the epistles, Paul warns really warns the people against false teachers and false teaching. Okay, because if you learn the wrong thing, you know, and that's what the enemy does, you know, he twists the truth of God in such a way that you will not bear fruit. That you will hold on to some form of gospel that will not transform your life. Okay, and that's something that we contend with. And that's what we need to ask in a place of prayer and reading the Bible, you know, and being part of a church, you know, to make sure that what we believe is truly what the Bible says. Okay, that our theology is right. And only in that place, God begins to transform us. And I do believe, I mean, even in my conversations to all of you, the moment you begin to know the Word of God and understand God's truth in a way that is true, and you start entering that truth, you begin to experience deep changes in your own life. And many of you have shared that testimony. You know, you also were amazed that the things that you normally could not do, did not like doing, you suddenly start changing. And you begin to be more thoughtful of God and begin to share God's love, you know, and you begin to see life in a total different way. You know, you see your work in a different way. You see what you're doing in a different way. The way you value things changes, you know, and it becomes so much meaningful, you know, to you. And this is necessary. So this is something that we really need to think about, okay, this entire process. And in the place of prayer, coming before God, you know, and saying, God, I'm that's what I prayed. I said, God, I just don't want to, you know, talk about these things without being real and allowing you to change my life and mold me, you know, to live and walk the talk, Lord. Okay. And I think I shared with you, you know, in the earliest of ministry, after 2 years of serving, I was fed up of serving. I was angry with myself. And my complaint to God is, God, I just don't have the capacity to serve. I don't have the capacity to love the way you love, to bear with people the way you do. And the only thing that cured that is just sitting before the Lord, seeking Him and reading the Word. And God provided and God spoke. So this is necessary. Okay. So here he outlines a few things about his prayer. Okay. He says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Okay. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Okay, so he prays, okay, that God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So it's again learning, knowing, knowledge, understanding God's will, all right, in a way that it matters, that so it may transform your life, that you may live a life worthy of the gospel, that you may bear fruit, that you may grow again more in the knowledge, and you'll be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And that's what Paul is praying. And that's what, you know, we should pray constantly for. And we should ask God, God, I need to know You. I need to know Jesus Christ. You know, I need to see, you know, the good news work in my life in such a way that I bear fruit, now that I carry your presence, your goodness. Okay. And then, of course, the patience and endurance part, all right? That is a tricky word to look at, but we will look at it. Okay, where he says, you know, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. It's kind of interesting, yes or not? You're given so much strength, okay, and power so you can endure and be patient. All right? I mean, no one gets power to endure. You want power to whack the other person up and, you know, take over things and control, you know, and so that we don't have to be so patient, all right? You know, normally that's how prayer would and I mean, that kind of prayer would be more exciting, you know. But here, you are knocking on heaven's doors and you're asking for patience and endurance. And I mean, it's important for us to understand that word endurance, okay? All right? So endurance, it means that, you know, we are defiant, we are courageous, we are unyielding in the face of trouble and humiliation. It's that kind of endurance. You know, the fact is, the world does not accept Christ. The enemy doesn't want us to accept Christ, and he will do all this. Okay, he'll discourage us, he'll humiliate us, you know, he will wage war against the church. But we have power and strength from God, you know, to tell the enemy, it doesn't matter what you do, nothing's going to change. I'm saved, I'm a child of God, and the circumstances you lay before me is not controlled by you, but by my Father in heaven. And God will be with me. It's that kind of strength. And you know, think about this very carefully. You know, this is what we really need. This is kind of endurance we need because of what we face daily in this world. This is the place we ought to find in our hearts. You know, that certainty, that faith, that hope in Christ that leads to a place of endurance. Again and again, we have said, you know, I mean, your faith, your love for God, you know, should not be determined by circumstances, but rather the reality of God in your hearts. Knowing what God is doing there. And we need an enduring church, you know, to keep doing what God has called us to do simply because we believe God will bring it to pass. God will do what He's promised. You know, if you teach a class, you pray, and you keep doing what you need to do because you believe that God will make disciples out of the people you are teaching. If you're at work, you know, and you're wondering, you know, how am I going to be a witness here? But you keep living for God and sharing His love and live in His truth. And you endure believing that God has put you there and He's going to use you to make a difference in that organization. You hold steadfastly. And only this can be understood and received in the place of prayer. And the other aspect of it, patience, is the grace that you give to the other person. You know, and many times, you know, the trouble comes through people, okay? I mean, those days, yeah, I mean, of course, if your car gets into trouble and you kick the car or whatever it is, but that's not an issue, all right? But, you know, you have to be patient with people who come and give you a hard time. And what this Paul is saying and what he does is that, you know, he does not take revenge, you know, and does not go after them, but he patiently bears with people, believing that through his good works, through the grace, you know, in his life, that those people will come to know who God is. Okay? And that's the kind of power Paul prays for, all right? And I think, you know, in many of the situations you share with me about your concerns in your workplace, your home and all that, part of the solution is the need for power, for endurance and patience to work those problems through, to know how God is working and to stick at it, believing that God is doing something in that. So that's needed, okay? And then finally, what God has done. Okay, and this is amazing. So it's giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And I think what we must understand is that the most important prayer has already been answered. God has saved us. You are no more, you know, objects of wrath and condemnation. You are no more destined to destruction. You are no more under the power of sin and the devil. God has delivered you. And the more we understand that deliverance, the more we rise in confidence. In the more we rise, you know, in knowing, you know, that the enemy has no hold on us. And it's in the place of worship and thankfulness, you know, that we discover the reality of salvation in our lives. You know, so, you know, I think it's kind of amazing when you hear somebody who accepts Christ newly, is so excited, God saved me, okay, and tells a testimony about how their life is. And then after 20 years of Christianity, I'm saved. Not sure what they're saved from and what's going on. Okay, has lost total perspective of the whole issue of sin and what has happened and lostness, all right? No. Okay, God save me, but I've got it under control now. Okay? You know, that's the thing. And that's why, you know, it's something sad to lose out. You know, it's very much like the people of Israel in the desert, okay? So in prayer, we discover the place of thanksgiving for what God has done and the impact of His work on the present. It is by prayer, in prayer, that we discover faith and we know that God is at work. Okay? And is bearing fruit. You know, it's in prayer we develop insight, you know, able to see what God is doing so that we can work with Him. Okay? You know, you want to understand why God put you in a particular workplace. It's in prayer. If you want to understand the nature of all the relationships that you have in that particular place and where God is heading those relationships and what you need to do, it's in place of prayer. Okay? I mean, I can give you a sermon or give you a book, you know, 10 steps in developing healthy relationships in the office. That will help you. But you need more than that. All right? It's in that place of prayer. Okay? You know, spiritual power for Christ-like perseverance. Prayer. You know, without prayer, you cannot persevere. You know, an understanding to know and celebrate what really matters to God. Okay, and the last one, yeah, you know, really it was important for me to come into the place. I mean, you've heard of the term pity party, yes or not? Okay, so I've had many of those. Like, normally, the only guest there is me. Like, you know? So you sit down and you say, oh, this didn't happen, that didn't happen, God didn't do this, that person did that, and all these kind of things and everything. And I have to tell you, like, you know, it's when there's a lack of time with God, you totally have no perspective on how God works in your midst. You know? He may be doing 100 things, but you look at the 5 that is not working. You know? Okay? You know, you can do 90% of the work, you are complaining about the 10%. You know? And your expectations of people and of God is nuts. You know? It's crazy. Because you have become so self-centered in that moment. And you whine and all this before God, and you're saying this has not happened, okay? And it's so sad, you know, that you have lost the ability to rejoice simply because you cannot see how good God is and how much God is doing in your life. You know, and many times God had to, I mean, and I'm really grateful to God. You know, sometimes when I'm heading that way, you know, God will just lead me into certain conversations to just show me, you know, how faithful He is. Like, you know. And again, you know, it's to be very careful, you know, to be in that place of prayer because God is truly good to us. All right? So that's what prayer does. At the end of the this whole scripture text, Paul goes into this place of worship and praise and speaks about the supremacy of Christ. Okay, I'll just read it again. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Okay, I think what's very beautiful here, I mean, this is a hymn of worship and praise, and it just explodes, you know, with the light, the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's in the place of prayer we receive this revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, that He is Lord. It's only in that place when that light shines and pierces every form of darkness and we begin to realize that my God is Lord. He's in control. And He loves me. When the reality of His rule, His power, His victory on the cross breaks into our hearts, you know, then everything changes. You know, the whole statement, Jesus is Lord, matters in such a deep way. But when we lose track of prayer, you know, that phrase, Jesus is Lord, becomes very small. And its reality doesn't pierce our daily situations. And that's what we need. So, church, again, you know, I know it's not easy. You struggle through prayer, okay? And there is a lot of things you can do to help you grow in prayer. And I think one thing that you should keep in mind is, you know, when you're coming before God and you have so many things that you want, okay? Definitely, all of us have things that we want, yes or not, okay? So whatever it is, okay, what you do, you just write all of it down, okay? Doesn't matter whether it's godly, Christian or not, just write it down, you know, really what you really want, you know, what you believe will make you happy and satisfied and everything. Take this whole list and bring it before God. You know, entrust it into His hands, not to fulfill all your wants, but to work on that list. You know. To start working one by one, why this is there. Why this is important. Why this matters. What He's already answering. And what who He is that is already... I know, makes such a difference that you don't need this list, some of the items in that list. That's what we need. You know, it's okay. He knows your list. All right? I mean, that's the thing about bonding with God. You have to understand He knows everything. You know, and yet He loves you. And yet He invites you into that conversation. And that's what you need to do. So you're right. How you imagine you're angry with this person, that situation, your past and everything and all that, and all these demands that you're carrying, you just write it down. And you bring it before God. And then you start learning about those things and seeing in the light of God's truth. And that would be a great place to start. Amen. So I invite you to stand as we pray and seek the Lord. All right.